Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
And hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to the Overseas Connection podcast. Today is October 23rd, 2022, episode 706. And it's going to be an interesting episode because I am solo for now. No Robin. He honestly couldn't be bothered. He was dealing with family matters. Really, I think he just wanted to play more racing games. Kim was doing chores and at the end of the day said, you know what, I think I'd rather sit back and have a beer and watch you make a fool of yourself. So there you go. Mark, of course, is just busy playing Hunt Showdown. He's absolutely, off on his own, doing his own thing. Could care less. Of course, he criticizes me for what goes down in the podcast and how I may incorrectly characterize a game. We'll get into that. But yeah, so far, it's just me. And Phil Olson, absolutely nowhere to be found. I think he is actually taking a deep dive into D&D and is just living this dungeon life. Again, nowhere to be found. And last but certainly not least, we have Pete. Pete is on a personal journey, inwardly looking into himself and trying to envision himself into a new Pete, a non-chess loving Pete. It's a difficult struggle, I know, but we have faith. We have faith he will come around, and anyway. There you go. No echoes. The star showed it on this. The show started on time. I don't think this could go off any better. We could blame Robin. We should. We won't. We'll give him a pass. So today, the podcast. We are a video game podcast. We talk about video games. Normally, there's more than just myself. But you just get me today. So hopefully that will be good enough. Look, I hear you, Martin. I see you in the chat. I see Boomer in the chat. I've been trying to crack the whip as much as possible. This is why we potentially need some bodies. So again, if you're feeling up to the challenge, let me know. We'll bring you on board because, the Northern Irish, Northern Mexican Irishman, he's been a bit flaky, just saying. And of course we know Central Time Zone Kim again. She did offer up, to be perfectly honest. It was like, hey, I can jump on if you really need me. But that's code word for I really don't give a damn. I don't want to be on the show. So there we go. Anyway, we'll talk about video games at some point. We're going to talk a little bit about life. We do broadcast every Sunday, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. in the East Coast. And that Central Time Zone thing, yeah, we're there, 3 p.m. We are on Twitch. We are on YouTube. We will also have an audio version of this podcast at some point, and so we'll push that out. I'm sure there are birthdays we could talk about. My brother Ken Giel just had a birthday. I should point that out. So happy birthday, Kenny. Other than that, I don't think there's any birthdays that are of importance. And so, And yeah, I see it there, Kim. I see you trying to defend your honor, saying, I said I could jump on. I meant it. I know. But I read between the lines, Kim. I saw what you were trying to say, which is really I want to be able to sit back and have a beer and make fun of you, which you're going to do. All right. So we don't have any birthdays. We just have some story time.
Everyone here loves story time, our favorite time of the day.
All right. So this is where this is actually the good thing about doing a solo show. I literally control everything. As well as what we get to talk about. So there's not going to, we will be talking about no racing on this podcast. There will be no Gems of War conversation on this podcast. We will talk about Andor, Star Wars Andor. I just continue to really love this show. And I know, you know, there's been some complaints out there that it's not exactly the fastest pace at times. They do quite a bit of setup. But it is just a great, mature Star Wars series. I just don't know how else to put it. I enjoy the fact that they are finally showing the Empire. And I think this is actually what I think I'm like most about Andor, is the Empire not only comes across as evil and truly evil. Like they, you know, you get the sense they do bad things, and they also show it. They hint at it. They show different ways in which the Empire is actually, you know, reaching out and just doing bad things. And that's something that's been missing, I think, from a lot of Star Wars movies and the shows. They hint at it. They never quite show the Empire doing the bad things, but they talk about kind of what they've done that's bad. And so here I just feel like we really get a good sense of, yeah, these guys, they're evil. They are ruthless. And so I think that really just, it makes it more impactful to me. I think also important that the Empire is not portrayed as a bunch of buffoons. And what I mean by that is in a lot of the Star Wars movies, if you ever really kind of watch the stormtroopers and stuff, it doesn't seem like they can hit the broadside of the barn with their lasers. And so you're always kind of left thinking to yourself, how in the world, you know, do these guys actually beat anybody? Here in Andor, you do get the sense that they can actually be effective. And so I really have been enjoying Andor. A great, you know, this last episode, it's a good setup episode. It absolutely is going to, I think, be the launch for Cassian to become part of the Rebel Alliance. Sorry, a little bit of a spoiler there. But anyway, so Andor, good stuff. And I love Kim is loving Andor, which I wasn't sure she was going to like it or not. So there we go. We get the endorsement, not only of myself, but Kim. And we don't care what Robin has to say. You know, he's all, oh, it's good, but just okay. Pah. Whatever, Robin. Whatever. Let's see. I did see another movie. Actually went to the theaters and we saw The Woman King. And I don't think I talked about this last week. So The Woman King, really good movie. Very much enjoyed it. I at first wasn't like in the first 10 minutes of the movie, I was kind of like, I don't know. I'm not sure. And then the story really takes shape nicely. And it's a really good, solid movie. I would definitely recommend. Maybe not for going to the theaters, but definitely when you get a chance, go see it. So The Woman King. And then the last thing is I want to talk about my claw. And so I unplugged it here so people can see this. I'm going to hold it up in chat on my camera. So hopefully you can see that. So this device, what it does basically, I'm going to hold it up in demo here. Your hand fits into it like so. There we go. And so with every finger movement, whether I'm going frontwards, backwards, or pressing down, those are all different keystrokes. And so this allows me to map key buttons to this device. And then most importantly, it's probably hard to see on the camera here, but right here, there's actually a joystick. It's a thumb pad. And so this allows me to not have to do the stupid WASDA keystrokes for moving in PC games. And I like it. I like it so far. It was not cheap. It was like $200. So I better like it. So far so good. This allows me to have that analog thumbstick for my left hand. And it still allows me then to use my mouse for aiming, shooting, that kind of thing. So good stuff there. And I want to say this is, it's called Azerins. No, this totally escapes me. I'll try and find the name of it in just a second here. So I'll stall a little bit as I talk. It definitely makes PC gaming a little more viable for me, which let's face it, I have not been the biggest PC gaming fan in the past. It's Azeron, Azeron Compact Gaming Keypad. They make a couple different versions of it. Very well supported. They've got a pretty cool software piece to it as well that allows you to remap easily and switch out. It has two profiles loaded onto the device, so you don't have to have the software running in the background if you don't want. But if you do more than two profiles, you can then call them up through software that just has to run in the background. Anyway, so it should make the ability for me to play PC gaming more of a reality. And then I can play games like Hunt the Showdown, which I'll talk about in a little bit as well. But anyway, so yeah, the Claw. And there's other versions of this, I should say. There's a Razer version. They make a few different versions of it, I think. The Razer keyboard, or Logitech, I guess it is. But I heard a lot of people complaining about the keyboards themselves and how there was problems with keystrokes within the keyboard system. So I thought, you know what? And the thumbstick also on those seemed like it was a little more gimmicky, not so much a main use piece. So anyway, I'm happy with it. How much PC gaming I actually do? Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. All right, so that's it for story time. It's not been a lot. It's been a week filled with work. It went from being not so busy to crazy busy the last few days. Just a lot of proposals coming out of the woodworks and winning some bids that I wasn't sure or not I was going to be winning, which it's great for me. It just means more work and more busy time. That potentially could impact those Wednesday, Friday gaming sessions. We'll see. We'll see. I do know I'm going to be traveling to Oregon in November, and I will be I'm technically not allowed to talk about it yet. So I will just say this. There's a very famous footwear and apparel, sports apparel company that are based in Oregon. Just Do It. And so that should be all you need to know there. So I'm going to be going to their campus for an event for different vendors coming on board with them. So that's exciting. And it's kind of funny because they talk about, you know, if you see celebrities on campus, you need to act appropriate. And I just in my head, I see people just go like crazy, be like, ah. But no, we'll see. Anyway. All right. Let us see. Let's move on to some video game conversation.
Today I feel like playing computer games. Today I feel like playing computer games.
Just for the record, Martin, incorrect. Just Do It. That is the mantra, you'll have to look that one up. Okay. I don't think we really need to talk about games for the month of October. It's pretty much almost over. At this point in time, if you haven't got the games that have been coming out, you still have a few days left. The games with gold, honestly, pretty forgettable. So we're good. I will talk about, though, what I have been playing. So I had a fantastic round of Halo on Wednesday. Very much enjoyed that. Friday, which is normally my PUBG time, we ended up not playing PUBG because Mark wasn't available. Robert wasn't available. So we just said, okay, we'll pass on PUBG for Friday. And I actually worked through my lunch because Mark had said, oh, I've got a headache. I felt like my wife was telling me I have a headache. I can't do anything. I'm like, fine, whatever. But then Mark came back and said Saturday, hey, do you want to play some Hunt Showdown? So I said, you know what? Let's do it. Let's go play some Hunt Showdown. Martin, still incorrect. We fired up Hunt Showdown. I will say this. I very much enjoyed my time playing it. I don't think I incorrectly described this game before. I think Mark took offense to how I was trying to describe it, but I think I was pretty accurate, with the exception of the number of teams. So you're not just playing against one other team. It's up to 12 players, and depending upon the team sizes, it can be anywhere from 2 to 3 max per team. So In that vein, you have these other teams. You're all on the map together at the same time. The maps are fairly large. You will have these clues, and you know you use your what they call it's like dark vision. It's investigation vision, basically. It shows you where the next clue is, and you go find this clue, and the ultimate thing is you're trying to find where the boss creature is. And so the faster you can get the clues, or if you just happen to stumble into the boss creature, all the better. And then suddenly, you know, you are facing off against a very tough AI-controlled creature. And it can be any kind of crazy, gross monster-like creatures. And along the way, you're dealing with all kinds of different environmental things. Mark rightfully calls out that sound is hugely important in this game. So things like crows that are maybe on the ground that are, you know, they're pecking at, say, some dead animal carcass. And if you come up and disturb them, the crows will fly off, but they also fly off in the direction of kind of where you are. So they mark you for other teams. They can find you. They can know where you're at. Same thing with things on the ground. There'll be broken glass that can give your position away. And so that the environment all plays a huge part in this game. And ultimately, your role is you go in, you want to kill the boss and extract his essence. And once you extract his essence, then you're visible on the map to everybody, in a sense. They can see kind of where you're at. And likewise, you have a sense of where they're at. And your goal ultimately is to just escape. You're trying to extract the essence of the boss creature that you killed. And there's only a couple extraction zones that you have to go to. And so you make your way with your other team members to the extraction zone. And then you have like a 30-second window before you actually extract. So another team can come along the way and engage you and potentially kill you and steal the essence. And then they get more basically experience at the end of the match. The pacing in this game is very slow. And when I say slow, I mean extremely slow. So, if you've played PUBG before, you definitely understand that that is a slower paced game. You are making your way across the map. You're gathering loot as you're going. This game, not as much of that happens, but you are still very much, you know, trying to kind of make your way, but make your way quietly. Because sound plays is such a big deal, and there are visual things like birds flying off, that kind of thing, that you want to make sure you're not disturbing other creatures that could give your position away, or give your position away to enemy or player versus environment enemies. So there's zombies, there's different creatures that are on the battlefield as well that you have to kill, and so it's a very slow pace that you're moving forward. At least the way we played it in this match, I'm sure other teams might go through it a little faster than we did, but we were very methodical getting through it. And we extracted fine. We extracted safely. We did not kill the boss creature. An enemy team had done that, and they got out of the map unscathed. So we were basically just kind of trying to pull whatever experience we could out of the map and then get out of there ourselves. All in all, I enjoy my time with Hunt. I will play more of it with Mark and his son Jay and anybody else, to be perfectly honest. Hunt Showdown. It's a good time. It is definitely a co-op game, although I'm going to try a couple times solo. I think there's a way I can kind of lurk around the edges and just get some experience and not have to actually engage in other teams, because 3-1 is going to be detrimental for me the last thing, and this is I think the part that also makes the stakes a little bit high, is your character. If you die on the battlefield, you're protected up to level 11, and once your character gets past 11, if you die on the battlefield, that character is gone. And it's stripped out of your inventory. And so you never get them back again. So there's some high stakes once you get past the level 11. And I was thinking, oh, it's going to take me a little while to get to a level 11. Well, after one session with Mark and his son, Jay, I was at level 8 already. So I have a feeling that's going to go pretty quick, and suddenly I'm going to be, you know, very cautious and nervous about dying on the battlefield. I'm not even sure what's going on in the chat right now. I just see, did you use the claw to trim the bush? Potentially. Anyway, Hunt the Showdown. It's good stuff. Again, I think I did a fine job of describing it. So, Mark, if you want to do a better job of describing it, well, there is an open seat on the podcast floor for you to come and explain yourself. Okay, let's talk about Scorn. And I'm going to try and put, if I can do this properly, some gameplay up on screen. So Scorn is interesting. I played a little bit of it. I like what I saw. It's very much not what I expected. So Scorn isn't a horror game. You're in these environments that are kind of gross, or gross looking, so to speak. It almost feels more alien than, you know, I was thinking this was going to kind of be like you're stuck in hell or something, but so far I don't get that sense. I get the sense I'm in like an alien world, and this is like just an alien environment. It's interesting because I've heard this game described as moist, which I was like, okay, that's a very odd description. But what that really means, as I get away from the ad that just popped up on screen, thanks YouTube, basically everything has this sickly moist sound to it. So you're walking along, and there's a lot of puzzles in this game. So, you know, that's the other thing that I think caught me off guard. I was not expecting as many environmental puzzles where you're having to flip levers and switches to navigate through the environment. With that, every time you're touching anything, it's like a, you know, you get that just gross kind of sound. And yes, you're welcome for that sound effect. And so it sounds wet. And so it all makes sense now to me, this whole moist thing. Yeah. Okay. But anyway, so you wake up, as you can see on screen here, and this is all the intro. You are told nothing. You don't know where you are, what to do, where to go, and there are just subtle clues in the environment, like lights here and there that will guide you to your next puzzle or something, you know, maybe something that's important to solving the puzzle. They're not always as obvious as you want them to be. And so the puzzle solving in this game can be a little bit challenging at times, because I just think sometimes it's not as obvious of what you need to do as it should be, especially early on. And again, I don't get this horror sense out of this game at all. It's just creepy. It's creepy, but not in a scary way. Just, you know, taking it all in. So I will probably play more of this game. I will just say this, though. The lack of direction does discourage you a little bit, or at least for me it did. You get to certain parts and you're struggling through it, and then you'll solve a couple puzzles and you're like, okay, well, maybe it's not so bad. And then you get to another part and you're like, okay, I'm stuck again. So, And maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm just horrible at puzzles. That could very well be the case. But yeah, I love how this game looks. I actually don't care. I don't mind the way it plays. But I do find the lack of direction, that's the hard part for me. I do wish there was just a little bit more of like a, hey, here's what you need to do, or here's what you're trying to do, to really motivate me for the rest of it. But we'll see. We'll see on Scorn. So far, not too bad. Okay, and I see in the chat, and I should give a shout out to the chat since I'm recognizing the chat. Of course, Martin is in there. Kim is in there as well. Hardly Dan in there. Don't let him remove your eyes. And then I did see Boomer in there as well. So everybody, welcome to the chat. Thank you so much for joining. And apologies ahead of time, because you literally only get to listen to me. So hopefully not a bad thing. Maybe it is. I don't know. Okay, next game I want to talk about is A Plague Tale Requiem. This just launched out this past week. This, of course, is a follow-up to Plague Tale, and I love this game so far. I'm really impressed. And I was impressed with the first game, so it's not really surprising to me that I was going to enjoy this game and be impressed by it. It is solidly directed. Visually, it's stunning. The gameplay so far, and this is maybe the one drawback, and I say drawback, I don't really mean drawback per se, but it feels very similar to the first game. So if you're familiar with the first game, early on, the gameplay has been very, very similar. And that could be a good thing or a bad thing, depending upon how you want to look at it. For me, I liked the gameplay of the first game, so I'm all in on this. But I could see how somebody would be like, you know, I really want there to be some new mechanics, something different. Beyond that, though, this game, it starts strong. It looks fantastic. I am really happy they made the sequel. Obviously I haven't played through the full games. What I've played through so far, I can easily see this, you know, coming to the top in a lot of gaming of the year discussions. I think the one thing that may hold it back, and again, it's the game mechanics not having really evolved from what we had in the first game. But it is a really good game. Highly recommend it. If you have Game Pass, it's a no-brainer. It's on Game Pass. But if you don't have Game Pass, I still say it's a no-brainer. It's a really good game and worth picking up. So, Plague Tale Requiem. I nothing but glowing, glowing praise. I'll say one more little caveat to the glowing praise, and that is, you know, as you're playing this game, you know, a lot of it is just stealth play. It's stealth play to avoid capture or to get through traps or scenarios with a bunch of rats in them. You know, again, similar to the first game. And similar to the first game, I do think there is some of that trial and error of you incorrectly try to figure out how to get past the quote unquote puzzle in front of you, and your character is killed off for it. The good thing, the save points in his auto saves are generous. And so it auto saves pretty frequently. And so even when you are in mid puzzle, depending upon how far you've made it into kind of that section or solving the puzzle, it won't punish you for that. So if you die, you're not going all the way back to the start. You're getting to kind of start midway or a third of the way in, depending upon where you're at. And I did have in particular one sequence where I was trying to get past a number of different guards, and it did not go well for me numerous times. I think I figured out a way to get her killed like six different ways. But again, the generous save points make that okay. You're not going to get super frustrated because you're having to restart from the beginning and lose any progress you had. So I like that. I wish more games would do it like this, you know, especially when they have the autosave kind of functionality, you know, give us the ability to restart and not be punished for failing halfway through. So anyway, Plague's Tale Requiem. Highly, highly recommend. Definitely a game of the year contender, I think, and it's going to be for a lot of different outlets, at least based off what I've played so far. Kim, you're not wrong in some sense of it being a long escort mission, but it's not really. To talk to that, you know, you do have your little brother that you're trying to protect. You will always have, for the most part, at least so far, a companion with you. But what I have found is the companion, the companion isn't part of the equation. I don't know if that makes that sound. It probably doesn't make much sense saying it that way, But in one particular mission where I was killed by those guards, it was never because my companion was seen and the guards saw the companion, and so that screwed me over. It was really focused in on my main player, her. And so I didn't feel like the escort mission of I have to protect the child, or I have to protect, I forgot the other kid's name that was with me. I just have to get through the puzzle and solve it. So I don't, yes, it looks on surface, I think, like a giant escort mission, but it's not. And it won't play like that when you're actually in the game. So for all of you complaining about escort missions, it doesn't play out like an escort mission. Okay. Where to next? I was going to give you a quiz, but there's not really a quiz. I could talk about this. So here, we'll do a quiz. Let's do a quiz.
All right, now everybody get set. Get away from the windows. Now look. Good. It's time for the quiz. Yeah, you know what? Oh, too bad. Tough.
Okay. So how could I quiz myself? Well, it's easy. I'm going to do a, buy, sell it, burn it myself. And I'm going to choose between three of my favorite things: pizza, burgers, and tacos. So what would I kill off? And ultimately, that's between burgers and tacos. And this is hard because I really like a good burger. But I have to admit, I think a really well-done taco beats out a burger. And so I'm going to kill the burgers. I'm going to basically one-time buy, fund it, the tacos for, say, an event. And I will keep pizza because pizza's king. Pizza beats out everything. That is by far my all-time favorite. And that pizza is breakfast, lunch, and dinner for me. I love cold pizza in the morning, 100%. And then, pizza for lunch or dinner, no problem. It is perfect drunk food. It is perfect non-drunk food. Pizza. Pizza wins out big time. And for all those saying pineapple doesn't belong on pizza, you are incorrect. You just have to put pineapple in the right situation. Pineapple and ham is not my favorite. I'm not a big pineapple ham kind of person. I actually really like pineapple and pepperoni. That's my go-to. And I will load up on the pepperoni, a little bit of nice fresh pineapple on that. It's perfect. You get that nice sweet and savory, salty kind of combo. And I could not be happier. That is the way to my heart. So there you go. Pizza lives on forever. Tacos finds a home for the mid choice. And then burgers, unfortunately, loses out. I do love a good burger, but not as much as I love my tacos and my pizza. All right. So news. We should talk about some news.
Here is the fucking news.
Okay, so there was not a lot of news this past week, and I just have a news page up right now. So I'm just going to kind of scroll through and see what I can see, and hopefully some of this actually is exciting. Alan Wake Remaster is now available on Switch. I don't think anybody cares. It's $30, so that's kind of nice that they're actually, selling it at a little bit less. But again, I just don't see this being a big game on Switch. Let's see. We know the Return to Silent Hill is coming back. Ironically, I believe they have a year exclusivity on PlayStation, which just goes into the whole Activision purchase with Microsoft and Sony trying to stop that. I'm not going to get into all of that, but it is kind of comical. We have Microsoft, of course, actually on the heels of the Activision Blizzard conversation. Microsoft wants to build an Xbox-branded mobile game store. And of course, this would be key for the Activision Blizzard merger because King is the big thing there. So there's that. I noted Hardly Dan said the Logitech Xbox thing isn't reviewing well. I don't doubt that. I think the price point coupled with the fact that it is, I believe, Wi-Fi only seems like it is very much limiting. And so I have to think most gamers are not going to want something that is that kind of limited, you know, has that limitation. Being able to download a game and play it natively on a device without the internet is just, I think, still a pretty critical piece to any hardware or new ecosystem coming out. Hence why Stadia died. Let's see. Sony's DualEdge Sense PS5 controller. This is the new fancy elite version. That will arrive on store shelves on January 26th. So kind of around the corner. Looks like it will basically be... So it's a $200 peripheral. It will be available January 26th in the US, UK, France, Germany, Netherlands, Belgium, and Luxembourg. And pre-orders will go live on October 25th. So if you are wanting one of these, you are going to have to shell out for it. Let's see, what else popped up? Razer's cloud gaming handheld is set to start at $400 for the Wi-Fi only model. So, Razer, of course, jumping into the fray, as well for cloud-based gaming handhelds. They have a Wi-Fi model. They also have, a 5G handheld device as well. But the base Wi-Fi one is $400. So expect to pay a pretty penny. And again, this to me is a little, this is the thing that's going to hold it back is it being cloud-based only, not being able to download it. I think that ultimately is going to be the failure of any of these devices if they can't find a way to allow you to play them natively. That's the real advantage the Steam Deck has. You know, I will continue to tout the Steam Deck. I think it's a great device, and I think they did it right. They allow you to download and play off the device. But then, of course, you can play cloud-based games if you have any of these services. You just set it up properly. So there you go. And rounding out the news that nobody really cared about. That's kind of it. Crisis Core Final Fantasy VII Reunion tries to scale up a PSP game to the PS5, blah, 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 don't care. It's just a slow news week. It's really because there's been a ton of games coming out. I think that's really, you know, bottom line is everybody's doing all the reviews there. So there's not a lot of news trickling out. And instead we're getting treated to a lot of games and reviews coming out. So let's talk about the games coming out in this next week. So starting October 23rd, October 25th, we have Garbage Pail Kids, Mad Mike, and the Quest for Stale Gum. Love the title. Not sure if the game's going to be any good or not. That's coming out on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. So a decidedly last-gen game with no apparent upscaling or version for next-gen. So your mileage may vary. Saturnalia... I'm not sure I'm saying that right. That comes out on PlayStation 5, Xbox X and Series S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, PC on October 27th. Signalis comes out on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC on October 27th. We also have on the 27th Star Ocean, The Divine Force, and that will be on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series consoles. I'm just going to start saying Series consoles. Far more easy. PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. The one that had a little bit of controversy, Bayonetta 3, comes to the Switch on October 28th, and I guess there is a big controversy hubbub that came out, I want to say it was like 2 weeks back, about the voice actress for Bayonetta. They actually switched her out because she did not take, I guess, you know, the money was being offered was not enough for her. Since then, it's come out that maybe that money was better than what was first alluded to, and that it might be kind of more in line of what most voice actors get. I'm sure we'll see more in that story as things come to light. Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 2. I have to admit, I was thinking I wasn't going to get this game, and now I'm going to get this game. And yes, Kim, terrible impression of you. I don't have the boobs aren't there. The voice isn't there. I don't have that quaint draw that you have. See, huh? That's me being nice. I'm just kidding around with you, Kim. But Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, I'm on board. I'm going to pick this up. PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC. Everything I've seen so far, I like. And this is about, I'm about due. I skip basically every other year at minimum for Call of Duty. I've actually skipped the last 2 years. So this is one that I'm probably just going to buy up on my own. Mark said he wasn't interested in it, but I've seen enough. I'm on board. We're good. Resident Evil Reverse for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC on October 28th. Then we get Resident Evil Village on the Switch and the Mac on October 28th. Who thought they actually still make games for the Mac? Resident Evil Village Winter's Expansion also coming. And that's actually coming to everything. PlayStation 5, Xbox Series consoles, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Stadia. I wonder if that's actually coming to Stadia. I bet it's not. NPC, October 28th. I bet this is just a typo left over because Stadia's dead. Anyway, that's it. That is all of the new releases. So yeah, I told you, we're in for a quick show. I've been trying to draw it out as much as possible, but I'm just saying. Yeah. I'm curious if the chat, if everybody is going to be on board for this Call of Duty or not. I do see a little bit of chatter in there. Let's see. Harley Dan said the Amsterdam footage looks fantastic. Call of Duty, I really want to play it on Game Pass. Yeah, of course we all want that, Martin. But of course the CMA and other, it's not just the CMA, but there are other regulators that are holding that up. So we don't get it on Game Pass yet. Also, I think Sony has an agreement to block it on Game Pass for their marketing deal with Activision. So likely we won't get any of these games on Game Pass until Microsoft purchases it and that deal runs out. So there you go. All right. This has been a very fun, albeit fast, podcast. Love all of you in the chat. Thank you so much for joining. By the way, Wednesday night, Halo should be a go for this week. PUBG, I think we're going to go back to PUBG. Hunt the Showdown's great, but it's not PUBG. So look out for that Wednesdays, Fridays. Just look for me. I'm on all the time. Let's just look up Murphy's Law. That's my gamer tag. I'll be there. A shout out to Kim. She offered, but let's be honest. I could if you really need me offer for being on the podcast. A shout out to Robin, who basically was like, I really would like to be there, but I can't because my wife is keeping me from doing anything fun because she's out having fun. That's really what it boils down to. Robin missed this podcast because his wife is punishing him. Mark just couldn't be bothered. Let's just be honest about this. He has a lot of criticism. Mark's got a lot to say when he's not on the podcast. So my counter to Mark is get your ass back in the podcast at this point. Just saying. And yes, long live the claw. Phil, Pete, we love you. We miss you guys. I'm sure Pete will be back on as soon as he figures out his actual home situation. That's just a whole different ball of wax. Anyway, all right, I've rambled long enough. Hey, Extra Life, it's happening November 5th. I will be doing it again this year. I've already set up my donations. I've actually already hit two of my stretch goals. So we just passed 1,500 raised. So I want more. I want to raise more. So hopefully, if you have the ability, you can donate. I will put a link to my Extra Life page when I post up the show. And it's a great cause. It's helping kids. And I realize it may not be kids in your country even, or your city or your locality. But the reality is, any kid being able to help, you know, being able to help any kid get through some of these tough times, that is just a great thing. And there's so little great things we get to do these days. All we hear about is bad stuff in the news. There's, I think, very few times where we feel like we can actually be a positive impact. So Extra Life is that one of those things. It is one of those things for me. Hopefully it's one of those things for you. Even if you can't make a donation, by all means, look for us as we're playing on that day, because, you know, doing 24 hours of games, while it sounds easy, it's like, oh, you're playing games for 24 hours. It gets very difficult, and you can ask anybody who's done it. Kim in the chat, I know you can definitely attest to this. Once you get to that 2-3 o'clock in the morning hour, gaming becomes extremely difficult, especially if you're by yourself. It becomes even that much harder. Yeah, we welcome all the interaction in the world. So everybody, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Game on. And on that note, I'm actually going to say goodbye, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.